I want to welcome you to Selma Christ and New Burlington United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Andy Martin, and I'm so glad that you've joined us on this Sunday morning. This day, we continue to meet in our homes and other places in worship, and we give thanks to God, knowing that He is present with us as we have gathered in His name. Today is a new day in the church. It's Pentecost Sunday. It's the birthday of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon all of God's people. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that it was on the day of Pentecost that all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where all of these were sitting. And then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit for all believers, for all times, for all days, for all people. Just as you anointed Moses and Ezekiel and all of those through the ages with your Holy Spirit, you anoint us, Lord, each of your followers with that very same Spirit to empower us, to encourage us, to help us along in our faith journey, to be about that work that we cannot do by ourselves or by our own power, but because of the power of your Spirit that lives in us, that helps us, that comforts us, that strengthens us, that moves us along in our faith. Lord, we pray this morning for all of those who might be suffering or struggling in any way, and our families, our friends. Lord, for those who are lonely, we just pray for the comfort of your Holy Spirit, and help us, Lord, to be hands and feet to one another and to share and to give of ourselves to each other so that we can truly be about your work. Lord, we pray for those this day who are preparing for procedures in the hospital, and we ask that you would just bring your peace to them. Lord Jesus, bring your healing touch in every way. And God, we thank you for this opportunity to worship. And we know it's not ideal. We really want to get back into the church again and into this structure where we can be with friends and family. But we know, Lord, again, that we're not to do harm. And so as we prepare to begin to open, Lord Jesus, just give us your strength and your comfort to endure and your peace in all of this as we prepare. Lord Jesus, just meet us now where we are at and move in our lives as we just offer ourselves to your care. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, last Sunday, I spoke about our need to be missional followers of Jesus Christ. How the church today needs to get back to its roots in the way in which we reach people for Jesus Christ. All the church of those early followers have so much in common with our world today, and especially our post-Christian culture. And I gave you a few keys last week of what it is to be a missional person today and how we can reach out like the early church did. And remember those keys, that missional people develop their own faith story. And they share it. Missional people look for opportune times to strike up a conversation. Missional people create opportunities for new relationships. And missional people move from acquaintances to authentic relationships. Well, this morning we see a number of these truths, these keys at work in our text for today. I'd like for you to hear the word of the Lord from the book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning with verse 26 and ending with verse 40. Again, the book of Acts, chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south, down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And the eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." Oh, the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, what was the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" Oh, he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north of the town of Azotus, and he preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. This is God's word for you, God's people. Oh, Philip followed the leading of the Lord as he encountered this Ethiopian. He openly shared his faith story. He took advantage of that opportune time to strike up a conversation. He developed a relational connection in that short time, which helped this Ethiopian man to come to faith in Jesus and seek baptism. Oh, how the church today must get back to its early roots of being missional people. But oh my, don't think that it's always works out as well as it did for Philip and the Ethiopian. And don't think there's no risk involved in being missional people, because there is always risk when a person steps out in faith. And if we have not paid close attention to the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives, well, things could go south very quickly. When Philip came to town and brought healing in Jesus' name and did all kinds of miraculous things, this would have no doubt set him at odds with Simon the sorcerer. That is, until Simon figured out that what Philip was doing was real and authentic. And because of the power of God that dwelled in him. And oh, how Simon wanted this power for himself. So at first, I'm sure there was great risk involved when Philip began to inadvertently mess with Simon the sorcerer's livelihood. But there's always risk involved when a person steps out or steps up in faith. A number of years ago, I had the privilege of meeting Will. He and his 4-year-old son just popped into church one Sunday morning. Never been there before, and in fact, he hadn't been to any church in years. And during the service, he just kind of sat there quietly, didn't sing. He didn't look around. He just kind of sat there and with his little boy holding his hand and whispering to him every now and then. Following the church service, he asked if we could talk. And of course, I said, of course, let's get together. And Rose, one of my older ladies, was standing next to me, and she asked if it was okay if she watched Aaron, his 4-year-old. And before he could hardly even answer, she was down on the floor with him, crayons, paper, giggling. So in my office, Will tells me how his wife just got up one day and said, "I'm done. I'm just done. I'm leaving. And you have Aaron." And no warning, no discussion. She just got in her car and drove away. And for over 2 years, it was like she had just dropped off the face of the earth. Until that week. And she called his work, and she wants to see Aaron. Oh, life can be so messy, so hard. Well, a long story short, the older ladies of my church adopted Will and Aaron. They sent him cards of encouragement, little notes, and embroidered scriptures. They would stop him after church and give him and Aaron hugs, or they'd give him bags of cookies, and even every now and then they would just drop off casseroles to him, which was kind of funny because he was a gourmet chef by profession. But it wasn't uncommon to see some of the men or a husband and wife take his hand and just pray with him before service. And he and Aaron never sat by themselves in that church again. The men and the women of that church made sure of that. All of them, the people of my church, they took the risk of opening their lives to him and to his little boy. They took the risk of being missional people. And you know, Will took the risk of trying something new. He came to church, and there he met God in the lives and in the hearts of the men and the women of that church who reached out to him and his son. And his life was changed. My, his life was changed. And not only him, but those who even reached out to him, their lives were changed because of it. Well, being missional followers of Jesus has us seeing people as Jesus sees them. And it has us seeing Jesus and the people that God brings before us. In the book of Acts, Luke tells us this wonderful story about an Ethiopian eunuch who comes to faith in Jesus Christ because of a man who openly shares with him the Word of God, because of a man who sees value in this Gentile believer. Because of a man who was willing to take the risk and follow God's leading. But what we don't want to miss in this story is that it wasn't all dependent upon Philip. In fact, before Philip ever approaches the Ethiopian, God was already there preparing the soil. Before Will ever came to the church, God was preparing his heart to be open to the men and the women of that church who would show him Christ. Oh, God just does that. You know, so often we think that it's all up to us. But in reality, we play a very small part. Our part is to just be the willing vessel that will take the risk of sharing something new. God's part in all of this? Oh, he prepares the soil for the seed. He does all the legwork, and he works together all things so his word may germinate and take root and grow. Oh, listen, God waits for just the right time as he prepares this Ethiopian's heart to be open to God's leading. He is just returning from his pilgrimage to worship in Jerusalem. Now is the time, as he is processing his experience. Now, you see, he's ready to listen. And then God puts this man in the right setting, the right situation, so that Philip can share the good news with him. He's on this desolate road away from his busy schedule. And so God creates the right mindset as he unsettles, as he troubles or frustrates this man's understanding of the scriptures, and in order to make him more receptive to Philip. How can I understand unless someone explains it? The Ethiopian said. And then God brings the right person to share the good news of Christ with this Ethiopian. Oh, God uses a Greek-speaking Jew. In some Jewish circles, an outcast are certainly considered less than, to reach a Gentile convert to Judaism, a double outcast. And God even prepares Philip for this encounter as he raises him up and strengthens him in his new ministry calling. Oh, God prepares the soil for the seed, and he works together all things so his word may germinate and take root and grow. And like us, Philip has a part in all of this. Philip's part is that he needed to be willing to risk something new, and he was. Oh, he risked something new when he agreed to be one of the seven chosen to care for the ministries of his Christian community. Philip risked something new after his friend Stephen was stoned to death by picking up the mantle and by proclaiming Christ in Samaria and healing those who were hurting. Oh, Philip risked something new by being that willing vessel, listening and following God's leading, even down that lonesome desert road that led him to Gaza. Oh, he risked something new by putting himself out there, making himself vulnerable to this stranger. Oh, it would have been so easy to have been taken wrong in this circumstance, as condescending or offensive as this stranger, as Philip approaches this man of means, this man of learning, and he asks him if he's able to understand. Oh, Philip took great risk by following his head and his heart as he talked openly about the scriptures from Isaiah and how Jesus was the sheep, this lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And if you remember, the Spirit does not just tell him to do this. It doesn't tell him to do all of this. God's Spirit just says, go to that chariot and stay near it. Oh, but Philip takes the initiative, the risk. He takes advantage of the situation by engaging this man in dialogue. Oh, do you understand what you're reading? And the man responds, how can I unless someone explains it to me? Oh, God is good. God is so good. You know, I can't help but to wonder, how many Ethiopian eunuchs live in our town right now? I wonder how many Samaritans live right here. I wonder how many people who are paralyzed and crippled by our world live right around us today. People who believe that there is a God, but who are very unsure if God is really concerned about them. People who know that there is something more out there, something more to life, and they want this, and they want to live good lives and have the best life they can for their families, but yet as hard as they try, they just can't seem to get there. Oh, people who hope beyond hope that somehow their brokenness can be made into wholeness, their emptiness can be turned into fullness, their darkness can somehow be made into radiant light. Oh, people who want to know God and to be known by God, but for the life of them, they just don't know how to get there. You know, I suspect there are a number of Ethiopians and Samaritans and broken people who live right here in our community. What do you think? What do you think? And I wonder how many Phillips live right here in Selma or right here in New Burlington. People who know God and take the risk in sharing Him. People who allow God to prepare them for ministry, to prepare them to encounter the broken and the lost and the marginalized, the hurting. Oh, people who risk it all, becoming willing vessels who seek out God's leading and follow that leading, even if it seems like they're being led down a desert road. Oh, people who risk something new by putting themselves out there, by being vulnerable and open and welcoming the stranger. People who risk something new by following their head and their heart, who take the initiative and openly engage those who struggle with the deepest questions of their lives. You know, missional people. Oh, it's a good question, I think. How many Phillips live in Selma and in New Burlington today? Or maybe even a better question, how many Phillip churches are right here in our little part of the world? You know, I would like to think that all of our Muncie churches and all of our different denominations are Phillip churches, churches who are filled with people who are willing to risk something new for the glory of God. Churches who openly and willingly risk new ministry, new worship styles, new ways of sharing Jesus for the sole purpose of reaching those who want to know God and to be known by God, but who just don't know how to get there. But the truth is, I know that not all of our churches are like this. Too many are just concerned about their own comfort, concerned with protecting their own way of doing things, concerned with being keepers of the aquarium when there's a whole sea out there of fish to be caught, and some of these fish are just about ready to go belly up. Oh, and I also know that I am truly happy, so blessed and so proud to say that I truly consider our church to be a Phillip church. And it's because of you and your commitment to risk something new in order to reach people for Jesus. I want to tell you, it was just so exciting this past year as we put together our 2020 vision where we believe that where God is leading us in these next 5 years, 10 years down the road and so some of our vision steps that we put together, they're risky. And no doubt they are going to stretch us, but Phillip churches, they take the risk of stepping out and trying those new things that God leads us to. And as your new pastor that's coming, Pastor Ed, I've met him, spent some time with him, and he just seems to be a very gifted pastor that I truly believe that you're going to love. But Pastor Ed, he's going to be right there with you and helping you along and giving you encouragement and risking ministry right alongside of you. But this is what Phillip churches do. We risk something new in order to reach people for Jesus Christ. It's what missional people are about. And ministry Especially those things that stretch us, that challenge us. Quite often, they bless us. And our part in this is being willing to risk something new, to be like Philip, to be willing vessels, listening and following God's leading, even down those roads that we're not comfortable with. All but have faith. Because our God is the God who prepares the soil for the seed, and He works together all things so His word may germinate and take root and grow in the lives of those He leads us to. This is God's good word for you. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank You how Your good word, how Your Holy Spirit leads us into those places that maybe we might not want to go, or where we feel that we don't have the gifts, but yet, Lord, You would not call us unless You empowered us with all that we need to reach out in Your way. Jesus, I just ask that You would continue to lead us as a church, to help us to share the love that You have for us with others. Help us, God, to reach out and to truly be Your hands and feet in our world that so desperately needs You, to get back to our roots, Jesus, and by speaking and sharing what we know as a way of being faithful in our calling to You. For this we give You praise and thanks, Jesus, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Now, I'd like for you to receive these words from the Apostle Paul in Romans 15:13 as our benediction. May the peace of God, of God's hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go now in God's peace. Amen.